Yeah, I wish I could enjoy this intro a little bit more, but given most of the subject matter we have to cover with our next guest, I cannot. But we still warmly welcome in Joe Patrick on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, let's just read the tweet, shall we? Falcons right tackle Caleb McGarry will miss time on the apparent leg injury suffered Wednesday, per source, who added the exact timetable was not immediately known, but for now, he's out of the lineup. Have you ever heard an update that was not an update like this update more in your entire life?
Seriously. Yeah, in the business, we call that a non-update, which is what it is, because we all know that he was going to miss time. It's pretty obvious when a player cannot put weight on a leg and you've got a game in less than three weeks. What is it? We're 14 days, I guess, from today, from the first game of the season. Not the Falcons' first game, but you get the point. It was very unlikely that he was obviously going to, be available for Tampa Bay. And it's all speculation at this point. So you got to kind of put that first and foremost. But just seeing that tweet that he's going to miss time, but it's unknown, to me, that's signaling that it is definitely like a long-term injury, and it's just a matter of whether it's going to be half the season or potentially the whole thing. But either way, it's not a good situation for the Falcons right now. And then obviously with the news about Storm Norton, they came out about an hour after that.
Okay, so we know Elijah Wilkinson was the guy that stepped in just for the remainder of that practice, but what are the Falcons' long-term options here? If they need one, potentially they have to go get somebody, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think part of it depends on how certain they are about Storm Norton, that he's going to be able to come back and be ready to play. And like, if that is right after the week 5 bye, which, by the way, now feels like it comes at a fortuitous time, because it gives the team this break in play that they kind of need to get this situation sorted out. If they feel like he's ready to play, after that bye, I don't know if you necessarily want to like do anything too drastic, and maybe you just play Charlie Warner more to like chip and help and do those kinds of things. But you'd like to think that there's some solution for this, some like convenient solution that's out there, and I just don't know if there is, Chris, because tackles are such a commodity in the NFL. It's the reason why the Falcons signed Caleb McGarry to that extension, is because you just don't let players like that hit free agency. Quality tackles don't hit free agency. We don't see those kinds of deals typically struck. That's why teams are constantly devoting top draft capital to the position. And, the Falcons have done that with Caleb McGarry, Jake Matthews, and Chris Lindstrom. These are all first-round picks. And when you lose one, it makes it really tough. And obviously you lose a good swing tackle in Storm Norton as well, who you had like as backup in case something like this were to happen. Now, I think maybe the silver lining is that you do look at Storm Norton. I guess it's not a silver lining, but you look at Storm Norton, and he was just a practice squad pickup from the Chargers, I believe it was, a couple years ago. So that's, I think, more of what the Falcons are looking at here, is trying to acquire a player that maybe a team is going to cut that they like. And I'm sure that Terry Fontenot and Kyle Smith and the days leading up to cut day on Tuesday and in the days afterwards, I'm sure are going to be talking to those teams about, those tackles that they may be willing to part with that the Falcons really like. I'll tell you right now, like what happens is like the Falcons will have a database of players. They will have like scouted the NFL completely and have a list of tackles up at the very top, the best tackles in the league, and, a lot of these kind of practice squad level players. And I'm sure there are some out there that they like more than others. And those are probably the players that are maybe some distressed assets out there that they feel like they can make a deal for. I think it's interesting that yesterday we saw there was 4 trades in the NFL around the league, and they're not major trades, but they're these little deals for, to acquire, a receiver and usually swap a 7th-round pick for one or whatever. And I feel like the Falcons are probably in position to do something like that, where they, target one of those kinds of tackles that maybe could get cut that they really like, and they want to make sure they get them over anybody else on waiver claims. So they go ahead and potentially make a trade for, you know, a low level pick so that the team gets something in return for that player. So it'll be very interesting days ahead. I would expect the Falcons to be very active talking to teams around the league.
Well, if there's a silver lining, I saw a trade like Harrison Phillips, who's a really good defensive tackle, went to the Jets, I think, for a conditional six-round pick. So there are moves that can be made. Maybe, I'm guessing not, since we haven't heard any rumblings of this, could you move Bergeron outside and put Wilkinson inside?
I mean, it's one of those theoretically possible. It almost feels like an academic argument where it's like, yeah, you know, you can kind of justify it in your head. Whether that actually makes sense, like practically, I have a lot more skepticism about, because just in my opinion, it feels like the more players you're moving into different positions, the more opportunities you have for it to kind of go sideways. And, you know, there's obviously the Bergeron to right tackle. I've also heard, I'm sure you've heard it, Chris, too, also flipping Jake Matthews to the blind side to play right tackle and then play Bergeron at left tackle, because Bergeron played left tackle in college. He didn't play right tackle. So maybe you put the more experienced player on the side that's playing a quote-unquote like new position on the other side of the line. But again, I'm not a fan of any of these things. I think what I'm a fan of, and again, if you feel like you're getting Storm Norton back relatively soon after that bye, then you know, I think you just go with the best option that you can get at that right tackle position, whether that is Elijah Wilkinson or whether it's one of these other players that's on another roster right now. And again, I think this could affect, how the team uses Kyle Pitts and how they use Charlie Warner and how they try to help that right tackle through these four games and making sure that they're keeping Michael Penix as clean as possible. I'm sure that he's going to have an extra eye on that side of the line, which of course is his blind side, which just kind of, just twists the knife on how painful this injury is, because there's only two teams in the NFL that losing a right tackle would affect quite to the extent that it is here, and that is obviously here in Miami. So just a really, really tough injury situation for the team right now.
Speaking of Darnell Mooney, I'm just going to say his name and tell me what you know.
Well, I mean, I'll go beyond Darnell Mooney. Like, Chris, is getting, it's getting concerning just the wide receiver room in general right now, I would say, because he hasn't played since that first training camp practice where he hurt his shoulder. Kadarrell Hodge has not practiced this week with what Raheem Morris referred to as tightness. I don't know exactly what's tight, that was not disclosed. But again, the nice thing is in a couple of weeks, in about 10 days or so, whenever it is, we'll get an official injury report and actually have some body parts to put to some of these players, because frankly, right now, they're not obligated to say anything about the injuries. And so Kadarrell Hodge has missed practice with tightness this week. And then Ray-Ray McCloud also left practice. It really got overshadowed. He was actually the first player to leave practice with an injury before McGarry was carted off. He was running some routes on air, kind of pulled up lame after a catch, and you could see a trainer kind of working on him on the side, trying to stretch something out in the legs, and ultimately was not able to return to practice. So that's a starter for you on offense. And if you don't have him, you don't have Hodge, and you don't have Mooney, you know, that's three receivers. And when it comes to then putting together a team that's going to go out there and play week one, that means you might have to carry some extra receivers on that 53-man roster, which then means you're going to have to, you can't carry guys in other positions. So it becomes kind of a mass problem for the Falcons when they come to a cut day on Tuesday.
So basically what you're saying is Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. better be damn good against Tampa out of the gate in week one. That's essentially what's going on. All right, so when it does come to the defense, what roster battles are you looking at come Friday night versus Dallas?
Yeah, well, I think it'll be really interesting. Natrone Brooks is going to go out there and apparently play the nickel. Raheem Morris said that on Wednesday, that he's going to play nickel for the team in this game. And that's interesting, because I think that he's a legitimate option to be this team's nickel back, frankly. Like, he hasn't kind of been talked about in this nickel competition, because obviously the coaching staff has kind of planned for Billy Bowman to fill that role. And he does, honestly, like, if I were to bet on a player that is the predominant nickel back for this team this season, it will be Billy Bowman. But I think Natrone Brooks can do a really good job. And I think that if he is able to stand out as a nickel in this game, then that's going to give him just more utility for the team. And again, when you talk about, like, if you're short on numbers for the roster because you got to carry whatever it is, extra offensive linemen or extra wide receivers or whatever, you need players who are versatile, who can give you, who can, you know, you can put in a lot of different spots and fill a lot of different holes for you in terms of, you know, the roles that you need out there on the field. And so I think that he's definitely one I'm watching. And, like, I would say, like, a player like Clark Phillips is worth watching, but he's not going to play. And I think that, you know, for a player like him, you know, he's kind of, I've been saying this for a while now, but he's kind of on the outside looking in for making this team just because he hasn't been able to get out there and play. And, you know, while you have some bank of knowledge with him versus off of what he's done as a professional throughout his career, you know, it is a new defensive coordinator, and he, I'm sure, wants to see how he kind of fits in the scheme, especially if it's kind of a lighter box that they're going to be playing with. If they're going to be playing with a nickel a lot, you need that interior cornerback to be able to, like, step up and run support and plug those gaps in the run game. So, and he's not a big body, obviously. He's, like, one of the smallest corners in the NFL. So, tough spot for him, unfortunately. And I think that that's where Natron Brooks has an opportunity to really step up and show that he can be that guy and kind of fit, make his run fits and cover guys in the slot.
What do you think the likelihood is that Xavier Watts earns the starting safety job?
I'm so torn on this. I feel like it's a coin flip, honestly, at least for week one. I mean, I think over the course of the season, we will see him eventually earn that job. But, you know, at safety in particular, that position, it's so much about, you know, having the knowledge of the scheme and an understanding of anticipating how, you know, opposing receivers are going to develop their route concepts and just being able to kind of think ahead and be able to anticipate and arrive in spots. That's what Jesse Bates is so good at, and that's the reason why he's able to make these big-time interceptions and these game-changing plays. I think Xavier Watts, obviously, in college, he's shown the ability to do that, but it's, you know, it's a different speed in the NFL, and it's obviously a new system that he's taken up, and I think that just from my eye, he's been like a little bit slower to react in some of these situations than maybe we would have seen from him at Notre Dame. And it's worth, you know, acknowledging that he's going up against you know, a proven veteran player in Jordan Fuller, who I think the team likes what they've seen out of him so far this training camp. And I know that, you know, maybe this certainly is coach speak for sure, but I'll repeat what Jeff Ulbrich said, which is that, you know, they've got position battles, and he said three or four different roles on the starting defense, but he said that he's very confident in however those starting battles ultimately turn out, because they have had the competition and they like what they've seen in those battles that is going to give them a good player regardless of who ends up winning it.
To the best of your knowledge, what's going on with Troy Anderson? I didn't really understand the most recent update.
Yeah, I mean, it's really secretive about what's going on with him. And, you know, I thought the thing that made me kind of got my ears perked up was that Raheem Moore said he had a knee injury similar to what he had in college. And there wasn't really a whole lot of knowledge about a knee injury that he had in college. But it does turn out that he did hurt a knee in 2019 and then sat out the COVID year. So he basically did miss a year, and it sounds like this is like, you know, kind of like a season long or a year long type of recovery from a knee injury. We don't know more about what the knee injury is specifically other than that, but it kind of reminds me of the Kyle Pitts situation when he hurt his knee back in 2022. And, you know, it was just a longer recovery than anybody thought. And he even had some like lingering issues even when he did return to play. So, you know, I ultimately think that Troy Anderson probably gets activated off of PUP, put on the 53-man roster, and then put back on short-term IR, and is probably there for, you know, obviously that means he's gone for at least four games. We'll see. Raheem Moore said, you know, he's like not ruling out for week one, which is, yeah, sure, I guess. But I think we're all anticipating him at least missing some time. I think the bigger question a lot of people had was actually, was he like so hurt he's going to miss the whole season? I don't think that's in play. I think that he will be, you know, play a role for the team at some point, but ultimately with Divine Diablo coming in, you know, his role is lessened, and, you know, whatever they get from him feels like gravy at this point.
All right, before I let you go, is Carlos Washington out again this week? And if so, Nathan Carter, I mean, he's looked pretty good. If Carlos Washington doesn't play at all, how can he make the team?
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of similar to Clark Phillips. And it's not that I don't think that they would want these players around. Like when we talk about not making a team, I think that both Phillips and Carlos Washington Jr. would be guys they'd want on the practice squad. But if they're not healthy, then I don't see how they could justify them taking up a spot on that 53-man roster. So, yeah, I do think that they are in very similar positions. And Nathan Carter, on the other side of the coin, he like really showed some explosion, some burst. You wonder even if you could utilize that kind of speed on like kick returns and stuff, which they obviously have Jamal Agnew. They brought him in specifically for that. But I think that you can potentially find some roles for Nathan Carter in this offense because he provides something to you in that running back room that nobody else really has. Maybe even has higher top end speed than even Bijan Robinson. So if you have a quality, a trait that's that special, then I think that there's always going to be room for you.
All right, Joe, appreciate the time. We'll look forward to chatting next week when we'll actually be talking about who made it and who didn't. I'm excited.
Should be exciting. Yep. Thanks, Chris.
All right,
appreciate it.
Joe.